One, two, three.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Test. Welcome everybody to our iPod radio show. This is Troy.
これカイですよ。
And you are listening to Knowledge is Power. As your body grows bigger, your mind must flower. It's great to learn, 'cause knowledge is power. So this is our 7th edition of Knowledge is Power.
Hapa.
And today we're going to talk about Hapa, which is derived from a Hawaiian word. Kai and I were able to travel to Japan, where we extended a couple interviews to two people there, one with Indonesian mother and an American father, and also a woman living in Japan who has a Japanese mother and an American father. They have interesting stories to tell, as well as a brand new What's Your Job, where we are able to interview Martika, who works in Indonesia at a resort in Bali. Good interview, Kai?
Yep.
And finally, we end up with a joke. Can't leave them without a joke, right? So, enjoy the newest and latest edition of Knowledge is Power, Hapa.
And have a great time.
So now it's time for our new word. Do you know the new word for today, Kai?
Hapa.
Hapa is spelled H-A-P-A, and it is derived from the Hawaiian language. And in Hawaiian pidgin, a hapa is defined as a portion, fragment, part, fraction of. Used without qualification in Hawaii, it is often taken to mean part white and is shorthand for hapa haole. In the Hawaiian language, the word hapa can also simply mean half, part, or a fragment. It's a loan word from English, half. Hapa haole can also be used to describe anything hybrid. It is also used to describe Hawaiian music in which the tune and styling are typically Hawaiian, but the lyrics are in English or mostly English. Now, the word hapa is increasingly used to describe a person of partial Asian or partial Pacific Islander ethnic heritage. So there you have it. There's the word hapa.
Can we listen to it?
Okay, my name is Usher Louis Dunkelman. So I'm half American and half Indonesian. My father is American and my mother is Indonesian. And I was born in Japan, and I'm 18 years old, so I suppose I live in Japan for 18 years. And first, I was in Japanese normal elementary school. Then I went to Canadian International School for my junior high and high school. And then now I'm trying to go to American University, which is Humboldt State University. It's in California, Arcata. In Japan, you have to be kind of same with people. Difference, not cool.
Mm.
So trying to act like everybody, but just can't help myself because I'm American. And talk very differently. I have a different hobby and a different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have a different, some different from everybody.
Mm.
But when I just watching movies, like I was thinking about movies, so just pop in my head, like maybe in movies, maybe I could do movies. Maybe that's the right job for me. So maybe get starting a little bit interested in movie and starting, and eventually I started getting like it. And really study about films. So really thinking of going like California.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when my sister went to America, mm-hmm. and she said I came from Japan, mm-hmm. and I says, cool, can you teach me Japanese? I think maybe we can be more friendly, I think. And because I'm born in Japan, so like I don't know how to say it in English, but it's kind of Asia Canada says, mean you can live here forever.
Okay.
And so okay. Maybe in the future I will live in America. Because that's kind of my child dream also, because I want to live in America when I was a child, and because I'm American, so I was thinking getting a job in America, but I think I still love Japan. So because of like sometimes some points I love it, and so I want to come back like in a vacation, and when I think America made the movie last summer, there was a good reputation in America. I think it was a good movie, Japanese saw that movie, and like they say some part this is not right, like when this age Japanese couldn't speak English, like really like this really not happened, like some mistake in like their history. And so maybe that is, and because like maybe American but in Japanese kind of like hurts, I think, because like the American tell us in a different way. So that's not really us. That's not really us. So.
Great. Thank you very much. In today's What's Your Job, Kai was able to interview Mardika in Bali. We are out there on a holiday and encountered Mardika. He will tell you he's a pool attendant, but we had great adventures with him both snorkeling and fishing. Have a listen.
What is your name?
My name is Inenga Mardika.
What is your job?
My job is a pool attendant.
Where do you live?
I live in west coast of Bali. That about 100 kilometers from the hotel.
Tell me more.
In west coast of Bali, it's different from the east coast of Bali, because in west coast we have there like club, plant station, cacao and coffee.
Where do you work?
I work at Alila Hotel.
What is your best thing about your job?
The best job for me is when we go to fishing, snorkeling, because I think that's more fun when I work in Hotel Haria.
Tell me more.
When we go snorkeling, I can swim in the snorkeling area with the guests, and also joking, talking. No, it's different when we work in the hotel area.
What did you do before your job?
Before I'm working here, I'm a freelance guide for snorkeling and also for fishing. When I meet guests in beach area, I tell them if we have nice place for snorkeling, for fishing, but if I don't meet someone, maybe just relax around the beach, swim, and play football with my friend.
What is the hardest thing about your job?
Our job is when we have a guest, they would like go to snorkeling, but the weather is not good, and also sometimes you know, we are big wave. We cannot go for snorkeling because it's not good, yeah, and also it's not safe. We cannot see anything on the bottom because when it's in good weather, the sun is coming up. We cannot see when do snorkeling.
Tell me more.
And also, when it's our guest is he cannot swim very well, and also I must take give a practice before, but the guest is not enjoy. Actually, the guest they would like directly like come to the water or see something underwater, but they cannot swim. That's not good. It's very dangerous here.
Who do you work with?
I work with my friend in a hotel. When we have a trip for snorkeling, from the hotel staff, we go with my friend, one boat captain and one guy, snorkeling guy. But sometimes when we have problem with the, our boat, we go with the local people. Yes, outside boat, small boat, the local boat, that one is more smaller than in hotel.
Thank you very much.
Yes, welcome.
So, Kai, what do you know about Hapa?
I'm half Japanese and half American.
Well, then that technically makes you Hapa. What is it like to have a Japanese mom and an American dad?
Fun.
My name is Julia Sakanaka. I'm 25 years old. My mother is Japanese. My father is originally Canadian but became an American citizen. I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington. My Japanese experience started as a young child going back and forth during the summers to see my grandparents who live in Hyogo Prefecture, which is in western Japan. When I was in college, I took an internship with the JETRO program and came for about 6 months to Japan to actually work and live in Iwaki, which is up north in Fukushima. And that's where it's all started, and it's where it's led me today to Japan at the age of 25 after college and working here as a Japanese citizen. Growing up as kind of a mixed child with having an American dad and a Japanese mom, I was especially fortunate because my father spoke Japanese, so it was more like I had my Japanese life within my house. And the moment I stepped outside of my house, it was all about speaking English and being in American culture. It's kind of weird to say, but as a young child, I never thought that I was of a mixed ethnicity. I thought this was what was normal, having an Asian mom. But maybe just about when I was actually in high school or college is when it finally hit me, actually filling out application forms to go to college. They ask you what your ethnicity is, and it was really when I first started to notice that instead of putting Caucasian, I would put down other or of Asian descent. One, because it of course looks better on your application, I'm sorry to be honest about that. But secondly, because they don't actually have a section where you can write that you're of two ethnicities, and other really wasn't a perfect choice, and I didn't want to ignore the fact that I was Asian and write Caucasian. So I guess Asian was really the only checkpoint that I could communicate to the people out there who's asking me, you know, what are you? I guess living and working in Japan and as, you know, a female in her 20s that looks like a foreigner being in Japan, one aspect that was something I enjoyed at first but now is sometimes of a burden is the attention that you get for being different. I remember the first few months I came in the summer, right after graduation, I would walk down, you know, some of the main cities or same big areas in Tokyo, and people would come up to you and say hi, and just random people. Sometimes they'd be, you know, do you want to work at a bar or do you want to be a model, those kind of things. But they would show a lot of interest, which is something you don't get in the States because you look like everybody else. And it was exciting at first. It's kind of the attention that you don't get for being unique in a world that's really kind of closed in a way. But after being here for about 3 years, it almost seems like a burden, because however much you try to fit in and however much you think that, you know, you're Japanese in a way, you'll always be an outsider. Just because you're maybe inwardly you could be 100% Japanese, but outwardly you're categorized as being different. I'm truly grateful for the education, both not just my language, but the cultural education that both of my parents gave to me. And I think that's something that as an adult, I really think that it's something that will mold my future together, my worlds together, as I go on meeting new people. But on an emotional level, having both these backgrounds, it's given me a really big chance to see, you know, how people, in a way, I can't really describe it. They, like I said earlier, they're categorizing people just naturally and just out of their own kind of, you know, kind of instinct to make sense of everything. And I've experienced that all my life, and especially being in Japan, it's really a really big force in my life. And I'm very sensitive to that fact now. You know, I try not, even the small things, like try not to stare at people just because they look different or they look too unique, or just even those small things are things that can hurt people emotionally. I know that I felt that, and it makes you feel like you're not part of their world. So just being really sensitive to that fact, I think that on an emotional level, I can connect to people that maybe I couldn't if I didn't have, you know, both worlds that I have right now. And I hope that because of that, wherever I go, be it Japan, the States, or maybe Europe, Africa, whatever country I go to, I'll have that as my foundation of being a person and kind of creating better friendships and a better life, not just for myself, but for other people as well.
Thank you very much. This is Knowledge is Power. Hey Kai, it's time to count to 12 in Indonesian.
I spoke to Mardika. He helped me count to 12 in Indonesian. Have a listen.
Satu, dua, tiga, empat, lima, enam, tujuh, delapan, sembilan, sepuluh, sebelas, dua belas. Satu.
Satu.
Dua.
Dua.
Tiga.
Tiga.
Empat.
Empat.
Lima.
Lima.
Enam.
Enam.
Tujuh.
Tujuh.
Delapan.
Delapan.
Sembilan.
Sembilan.
Sepuluh.
Sepuluh.
Sebelas.
Sebelas.
Dua belas. Thank you.
All right, it's joke time. Take it away, Kai.
Thank you. What do you get when you cross a snowman and a vampire?
I don't know, Kai. What do you get when you cross a snowman and a vampire?
A frostbite. What do you get when you cross a fish and an elephant?
I don't know, Kai. What do you get when you cross a fish and an elephant?
Swimming trunks.
Mm-hmm.
What goes tick tick woof woof?
I don't know, Kai. What goes tick tick woof woof?
A watchdog.
All right, that ends our show, everybody. Did you have a good time, Kai?
Yeah.
We definitely like to extend thanks out to our interviewees in Japan, Asher and Julia, for spending time talking about their lives, as well as What's Your Job, when we interviewed Mardika, was both a great snorkeling and fishing guide, as well as an interesting person to talk to. Right, Kai?
Yes.
What was your favorite thing you did with Mardika?
Fishing.
Fishing, of course. Always out there fishing. And finally, much thanks out to George for providing ground support and organizing the interviews.
Oh, yeah, the guy with the orange hair.
That's right. All right, we'll see you next time, everybody.
Next, Knowledge is Power of 8.
We got to think about what that's all about.
I know.
Until then,
the end.
Adios.
Thank you. Arigato.
Bye-bye.